You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and it's great to have you with us. This week, teachers from across the country have been telling us their concerns about going back to the classroom for in-person learning in the fall.
My main concern with the public school system is that the plan, as I like to call it, is business as usual with masks. We won't be having social distancing. We can't. There's not enough space. And my law school is taking way more precautions than the public school system is. I would prefer everything stay virtual. And if I had the option, I would stay virtual to keep my children and my family safe.
I teach elementary technology for kindergarten through fifth grade students. I'm willing to return to work with face-to-face teaching only if the state and local COVID infection rate is at or below the level when remote construction was implemented.
We'd love to keep hearing your story, so call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE-TEACHERS. Meanwhile, some teachers, like Becca Shapiro, who until recently taught high school math in the Denver public school system, are choosing to resign rather than return.
I had decided I wanted to move on from teaching probably last December or so and wanted to find a different career. And then when the pandemic started, I was thinking, okay, it's obviously not a really good idea to quit my job right now. And then when they told us that we were going 100% in person, it felt really frustrating to just have no control over like our safety or well-being. Last Friday, they announced that they were going to push back the start date of the school year a week, and they were going to have the first 2 weeks start remotely, 100% remote, and that after September 8th, they would consider like a slow rollout of in-person learning, but that is like up in the air. But I don't feel regret leaving. It kind of goes with that not having a voice thing. Like, yeah, they responded to us, or they responded to the teachers, but it's just like, they could just get rid of all of this uncertainty and just say, okay, we're going to be remote for the first 3 months or until Thanksgiving or something. You know, just let teachers and let parents start really planning. But it almost feels like with, okay, now we have this 2 week buffer of remote learning, it just like delays the uncertainty. Another former teacher who resigned for similar reasons, she and I kind of started just trying to find like tutoring jobs for the fall, knowing that there would be this big need. And we've talked to parents and there is obviously now like such a big need or desire for that kind of like individualized support. And so we like accidentally started a business. I feel really lucky. Like, I feel like I don't have kids. I don't have a mortgage. Like, I was able to resign and still be like somewhat okay. Maybe in January, I'll start panicking if this business doesn't take off or if I don't have a job. But yeah, I think anyone I've heard of who is thinking of resigning is someone who has something else to fall back on. That feels like if I didn't have that, that'd be like a pretty terrifying place to be in, to have to stay in this profession and also maybe have the potential of getting sick because of it.
That was Becca Shapiro, a former teacher in Denver, Colorado. But for many teachers, quitting is not an option.
My name is Mario Pena, and I'm an eighth grade English language arts teacher. I work for Austin ISD in Texas.
Mario works at a Title I school, which means that a majority of the students live below the poverty line. The student body at Mario's school is predominantly Latino. For now, Austin schools are planning to be online for the first 3 weeks of the school year before moving to a hybrid of virtual and in-person instruction. But Mario says he's still worried for the safety of his students and colleagues.
Realistically, looking at numbers, looking at symptoms, looking at how this virus has been progressing, there's no real precautions that would make us 100% safe. As of now, I know that we're planning on having students be checked every morning before they walk into the doors, asking them if they've had any symptoms, but that doesn't completely cover us. There's so many people that are asymptomatic. And if there is a parent who has to go to work, their child may have tested positive and they're not showing any symptoms, they might send their kids anyways. And a lot of these parents are probably not able to get the testing that needs to be done. As long as students are not showing symptoms, they're going to assume that they're not infected. We're sending students in and teachers with a possible risk. You know, I'm fairly young. I'm 30 years old. I don't have any health problems. So I'm not so much scared for myself. I'm more scared for my family. People are around me, people who are high risk. My roommate is diabetic. And so, you know, me going to school and coming in contact with multiple people, multiple kids every day puts him at risk. I mean, ultimately, we have no control over that since we have to go back to work, but it's definitely something that's on my mind. I don't really have a backup plan. Teachers aren't paid very much. In college, I wasn't the smartest person with my money. And so I'm just now getting to a place where I'm in a financially stable situation, but I definitely don't have a savings that I could live off of for multiple months. Teaching is my heart. Teaching is my passion. I came into this for the students. This is it for me. This is what I want to do. I want to work for kids. I want to make sure that they're being given equitable educations. And so I don't see myself doing anything else right now. And I don't really have a plan if I wasn't teaching. One of my really close friends was recently diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And so last couple of months of school, she went and had surgery and she's currently on chemo. And, you know, we've been talking quite a bit lately and she's just not ready to go back. And she's been contemplating whether she should resign, but then therein lies a problem, right? If she resigns, she no longer has insurance. If she doesn't have insurance, she's not gonna be able to afford her chemotherapy. And so she's in this conundrum, and I just find it appalling that we're playing with teachers' lives. And I know that she's not the only one. I know that this is like a situation that's happening to a lot of teachers across the nation. And to see her kind of contemplating whether she should come back or not is really sad. It would be devastating for her to survive colon cancer, but then end up passing because of corona. I feel like there's a lot of stuff in the media that's kind of pitting teachers and parents against each other. I've seen a lot of comments on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, where parents are saying, you know, teachers need to go back to school. We need somewhere to send our students. And I think that we're falling into this ploy by politics to put teachers and parents against each other. And I think we all need to remind ourselves that we're all on the same side. We're all here to make sure that the students get the education that they deserve.
That was Mario Pina, an 8th grade English teacher in Austin, Texas. And if you're a parent or teacher or work at a school, tell us how you're feeling about your school's plans for the fall. You can give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.